Hey, Chicks in the Office listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. What's up, everyone? It's Chicks in the Office with Rhea and Fran giving you that Friday energy on a Wednesday. Trent, you look nervous because you're with your girlies right now.
I am not nervous. I'm not nervous. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you here. I think we need to address something before we get to the Bachelor recap. I know some people hate when we do this, but there is something to address. Noah, open up your ears. Do you remember last week when we were sitting in the studio and you came in and you were like, Trent's hands are a problem?
Oh. I didn't say it. I said that someone else who works on Snapchat mentioned to me, like, tell him it's a problem.
And you didn't tell him?
Oh, I didn't tell him because I think it's funny. I told the guy, too. I'm like, it's funny.
Well, I told Trent today, and he was like, well, who's saying it's a problem? I was like, the producers of the group.
They're not saying it's a problem. It's just, your hands look big.
Yeah. I sat on the floor today during the group chat to hide my hands.
I think it's funny.
No, I think it's distracting.
I think it's a running joke now.
I agree.
I think it's just because they take up a lot of the screen and you only have so much of show of yourself on Snapchat.
They do look large when they're at the bottom and I'm moving them around. Yeah. They kind of take up half
because
the screen.
Because you also talk like this sometimes.
I do,
like,
yeah.
And the full hand flexes out.
Trent's Italian, you know?
It makes it look bigger, I think.
What?
When you like stack your hands, it makes them look bigger, I think.
You think so?
Yeah.
A bunch of sausages stacked up.
A bunch of sausage links. A bunch of Jimmy Deans right on top of each other.
Two slices of
bread.
I'm
just going to pour some syrup on them, take a fork and knife, and cut through
them.
Whoa. Put syrup on sausage?
Yeah, I put syrup on sausage.
Syrup.
I like, there's with bacon.
Oh,
and
breakfast sausage with syrup is fantastic.
Breakfast sausage with syrup. Have you ever had, what is it from? What am I thinking of? From McDonald's?
Sausage, egg, and cheese?
But on the bread that has the syrup inside.
Croissant.
McMuffin.
No.
Why are we always blanking on what these things
are? The syrup is baked into the bread.
Into the bread with the sausage and the cheese.
Yeah,
A McGriddle.
A McGriddle.
Yes. Yeah, see, syrup.
Sausage. No, I shouldn't have said it so accusatory because actively or purposely put syrup on the sausage, but like if everything sort of gets mixed together, that's a delight.
Yeah, I also like to go back and forth between my syrup and my ketchup. Not with sausage, but with bacon.
Yeah.
I'll do one side syrup, one side ketchup, because I like both on my bacon.
Ketchup on bacon?
I don't know.
Egg, and cheese with ketchup?
Ketchup should not be in breakfast. That is my opinion.
Ketchup on a bacon,
eggs.
Egg, and cheese. Yeah.
Bacon, egg, and cheese with ketchup.
What about
I wouldn't be dipping my bacon alone into ketchup, but on a bacon, egg, and cheese, it's fantastic.
Hot sauce I would prefer than ketchup.
Yeah,
both.
I'm with you.
Ketchup and hot sauce.
Yeah, put a little both.
Yeah,
both
I'm with
there.
No. I don't like ketchup on my breakfast food.
Okay.
Well, moving on. Anyways, put some syrup on that.
And everything bagel, toasted bacon, egg, and cheese
with some ketchup on the side on it, but also on the side
Frank's
to
hot
dip
sauce?
Into.
Good
Fran,
stuff.
Fran, we're
good
on the same
stuff.
Page. All right, let's get into the Bachelor.
Now that
recap.
We've made everyone hungry, let's get into the Bachelor recap.
We've made everyone starving, and also huge episode because we have the one and only Matt James on this episode. He's the Bachelor.
He's
no
the
big
bachelor.
Deal.
I don't know.
It's gotta be.
It's gotta be, right?
I feel like I've never heard anyone call him
Matthew
James, so it's gotta be. It's gotta be Matthew.
I'd be stunned if it's not
Matthew.
Well,
we can ask him.
Yeah. Hey.
True.
Matt, is your real name Matthew? We're trying to get to the hard-hitting questions.
Yep. Hard-hitting.
He will be on the show later on. Trent will be joining us for the interview because we're nice like that. So
you guys are very gracious about that. Every time you guys have had a big guest, you guys did the same thing with Pilot Pete.
Yeah.
You guys
we're better as a unit when it comes to the Bachelor stuff, I think, personally.
Yes, because people get mad when you're not involved also.
Yeah.
I appreciate you having on, of course. I'm actually the one who texted Noah and Fran, no big deal.
Correct.
Well, I just assumed you would.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, guys, we got to have Trent on.
Yeah.
So, it was me. But it just makes it better because we all talk about The Bachelor together. You have questions that we don't come up with. Yep. We have, you know how it goes.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. And we also have another special Bachelor guest today that we won't be revealing until he'll be on next Wednesday. And it's nobody that's been on this show before. And it's going to be great. So let's get into The Bachelor recap from this week.
Okay, guys. Jam-packed episode. There was a snowstorm in New York, so we were not watching together. We were watching at home. And we finally got to see Victoria and Anna go home. I guess this was week five, right? This is week five? Okay. So we weren't too far off on our guesses of when Victoria would be sent home. Like, I think we were kind of in this area, and I felt like week four ended on a cliffhanger where it could have, the beginning of this episode could have been at the end of week four.
Definitely.
So I feel like we were definitely right. Katie, she snitched. Thank God someone needed to do it. It was about time. And Matt came in and laid down the law. He was like, look, I'm no bullying, no tolerance, just like not down for any of this. Spoke to Brittany about it, got Brittany to tell her side of all of this, be there for Brittany. I thought he handled it all the right way. He went to, Brittany first and then took out the other girls.
Yeah, he did it the right way. And we've gotten to the point where the girl drama is so crazy that to have Matt step in and be like, oh, Matt's still on the show, he can take care of these things. Like Victoria and Anna specifically, not realizing that eventually this was going to get back to Matt,
right,
and them just being, making the house toxic, bullying, being the mean girls in the house, for them to think that it wasn't going to get back to Matt and that's probably going to be the reason they go home was pretty crazy. That actually speaks to how delusional, specifically Victoria is.
Victoria.
She definitely thought, like, I'm going to rule the house, I'm going to pick these girls off one by one, and then I'm going to win. But then Matt finds out about it from Katie, and he's like, well, that's not going to fly, and then he sends them all home, which was great. I agree.
Yeah, Anna single-handedly blew herself up on the show.
Yeah.
She was like, I'm going to cause drama. I'm going to accuse this girl of being an escort. And now I'm going to see myself out because I realize I shouldn't have done any of those things. And it was all bad news from there. Victoria was terrible. Through and through, she was a disgusting human being throughout the entire thing. And she saw no fault in her own at all. It was actually quite impressive that she didn't realize one ounce of what she was doing, what she was saying. She started making excuses, being, I'm just joking. I'm just calling girls hoes as a joke. It's like, no, Victoria, it seemed like you were pretty serious. It actually wouldn't come across as joking because those people aren't your friends. Maybe if you were friends with the girls and it's one of those things where you joke around with your friend, oh, you slut, what I mean? That wasn't what was happening with Victoria. Nobody liked her and she was mean to everybody. So it was just like a bully situation.
Calling Ryan a hoe because she's a dancer when you don't know anything, like have literally just met her.
Yeah,
you can't say that that's a joke because you mean that there is malice in that. So she can't do this. Oh, I'm just playful. I'm not malicious. It's bullshit because you don't know these girls. You can't just come out and say things like that. She lives in La La Land. At least with Anna,
I think it's fair that we call Victoria a hoe as a joke. But she's a hoe.
At least Anna has some. I think Anna realized in the moment that she fucked up.
Yes.
And that, at least, I can respect. She did majorly fuck up, and I think she still tried to downplay how bad it was. You know, the way she talked about it was like, oh, I made an offhanded comment. Like, she really wasn't still understanding the severity of what she did, but she knew that it was over for her. Like, she knew right away when Matt came to talk to the group as a whole. Like, you saw her face change, and it was like, okay, she's done. She knows she's out. And even when Matt singled her out and went to talk to her and was like, look, I'm trying to create a safe space. I can't really have you continue to be here with these girls. I think she was just kind of like, I got it. I get it. And I don't want to leave, but I get why I have to leave.
And Victoria was the exact opposite.
Exact opposite.
Learned no lessons. The delusion continued. I just love that they were doing the interviews and she was just like, when I leave, everybody's going to be heartbroken. They're not going to believe that I'm leaving. Matt, him and I are supposed to get married. We're the ones that are meant for each other. And she, like, on her way out, she was, like, yelling at Matt, being like, you're making a huge mistake. All these other girls like me. And she, we've talked about it before, but I still cannot get a read on whether or not she's a real person.
Yeah.
Is she a paid actress? Or is this just how she is? I My gut says it's just kind of how she is.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I think so, too. I think that's how she is. When she started talking about if roles were reversed, like, not even if Matt James wants her, she was like, I don't know if I want my husband to not believe me. I was like, all right, Victoria, you don't even have a shot. Let's stop this conversation, because you assuming that you have a chance with Matt James is crazy town. Like,
right. And she tried to go on that bullshit apology tour after Anna got sent home, like... She was like, oh, shit, I got to try and be nice to some of these girls, and it just didn't work.
She learned no lessons on the show and also did not learn what a strapless bra or sticky boobs are at all. No. Or just no bra. She never learned that either. There was nothing to be gained.
She loves that push-up bra more than anything else. It started to pile up because of how out of touch she has seemed. And it'd be one thing if she was looking back at it now and was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done that. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. But we watched her on Good Morning America. She has no remorse. She thought she was going to be well received. She was giving like backhanded, like, oh, well, if I did offend anyone, I'm sorry. Like, she has no sense of reality whatsoever and is just the least self-aware contestant I think this show has ever seen. It's incredible. When she walked out the door and didn't get the rose in the rose ceremony, and she just like, had her little prepared dig at Matt. And Matt just stood there like, bye. Like, I don't even want to say anything to you.
Victoria, like, if it'd also be a different story if Matt really liked Victoria. Mm-hmm. Like, if she was being mean to all the girls in the house and none of them liked her, but Matt was like,
never
smitten.
There. It was like Hannah Brown and Luke P. Like, Hannah actually liked Luke P, and everyone was like, what is happening?
Right. But there was she had none of that. She was disliked in the house. Her and Matt maybe, you know, shared 5 minutes together. The connection clearly wasn't there. So for her to be gone, it's good riddance. And I tweeted last night that I'll see her, that maybe she'll be in paradise.
Oh, God.
Now that looking back, I don't think that's going to happen. I think she's almost like too much. Like, I know that's probably what they're looking for in contestants, but she is a little too over the top.
This is kind of a stretch, but I compared her to Luca Magnotta, the guy from
Don't Fuck with Cats
on Netflix, a documentary, where he wanted to be famous so bad that he made like fan pages for himself before he started killing cats, and then started killing cats and putting it on video. And he just wanted to be famous so bad that when he got arrested, he was smiling at all the cameras and was just happy that people knew the name Luca Magnotta. So I feel like that's kind of the case with Victoria, where she went on that show and was like, I'm going to be a character. I'm going to go all out. I'm going to be my most obnoxious self. Mm-hmm. And she thought that people would love that. And we didn't. We hated it.
Yeah.
We really did hate it.
Yeah. Because I think sometimes, I bet she watched someone like Demi, who I think had a little bit of that obnoxious behavior on Colton's season. But for her, it worked, because it did seem like it was coming from jokes. And when you actually talk to Demi or watch Demi in interviews, we're like, okay, we can understand it. We get it. We understand where this is all coming from. It's just not there at all with Victoria. It doesn't seem to connect at all. And there are so many people that they can pull from for Paradise that I'm like, maybe there's somebody else. Like, you know, she does have the biggest, I guess she would like create the most amount of drama probably, but it's hard and real. Like what you said with Luke P., we were all frustrated watching that, because it was like, okay, we all hate Luke P, but Hannah likes him, so we know that he's got to stay. And that felt more authentic to the show.
Yeah.
This case, it's like, okay, now we're just watching the shit the producers are doing, because it's obvious Matt doesn't like her, so why is she still here? Like, it exposes that side of it so much more.
They're going to ruin Paradise if she's on it. Robert Mills, if you're listening to this, do not put Victoria on Bachelor in Paradise, because no guy is going to like her. The girls are going to hate her. It's just going to be the Victoria show. So don't do it, all right? Nobody wants to see it.
That kind of behavior doesn't
Do you really want that kind of behavior? I don't know. Shouldn't get rewarded to go to Paradise. There's going to be drama. There's going to be better. We already got Victoria's nonsense drama on this season that was entertaining. Yes, for sure. I agree with you, because in the beginning we were like, this is entertaining. We hate her. It's entertaining. She's not going to bring anything new to the table in Paradise. She's going to do the same thing, call the girls sluts and whores. No guy is going to want to talk to her. No. So I feel like it's just going to be a waste of episodes.
There's so many other girls that we have been a little critical about that deep down we think are, you know, all right human beings, where like they can be, you know, Victoria F. Victoria F will be great on Paradise. We don't need, you know, yeah. we don't need like more than
right,
that.
Right.
Hannah Ann. Like the, give us the girls that yeah. will give us drama.
The drama
no matter what.
The drama will happen regardless, where we don't have to reward Victoria with a trip to Paradise with how she has acted and how she has been received on this season. And
you
thankfully
guys are right.
she's gone.
You guys are right.
Yeah.
We talked you down.
Yeah,
we did, because I get like, because it would be crazy drama for yeah. one episode, and that's you right. know kind of what I want to see.
But we have no, like, if she stays for too long, it ruins the whole season.
You guys are right.
Yeah.
And but, like I said, nobody's going to want to talk to her.
Yeah.
Like, I know that sounds mean, but at the end of the day, who would want to be with somebody who acted the way she did?
Right. Yeah, yeah. So we'll see what happens. But this, With the both of them gone and Matt getting to, you know, talk to Ryan and talk to Brittany and kind of get the full story, felt like we were closing that chapter of this season, hopefully, kind of with the bullying and whatnot. However, MJ has stepped up to the plate, and I know that someone had to step up, and I guess it had to be her. I don't know why she felt the need to do that, but we'll get to that. Rachel got the first one-on-one date. Lovely date. You know, if you're on The Bachelor, this is the dream date. You get wined and schmoozed and clothes and shoes and everything. And it looked like they had a fantastic time. But the real big part of this was the two of them saying that they were falling in love with each other when we were, like, blindsided and had no idea where that came from.
It really feels like now that Victoria's gone and Anna's gone, that, like, the season just started almost.
Yeah.
Because we've really had so much focus on Victoria and Anna and all the things going on in the yeah. house that maybe they didn't show us everything that was going on with Matt and some of the other girls. Mm-hmm. Because, yes, I was with everyone else being like, I cannot believe these two are saying that they're falling in love with each other when I can't remember the type of connection they've had during the season. So I was just as shocked as anyone. But I do think now that all the craziness is mostly out of the house and we're probably going to see MJ go home early next week, I would imagine, that I think we're going to start seeing the connections and it's going to become more of a normal Bachelor season, I would guess.
Until yeah. Heather comes in. Because what's that about? We keep forgetting that Heather is making an appearance at some point. But yeah, like you said, with Rachel and Matt and their so-called connection, we didn't see any of that. So yeah. when they started saying that they're falling in love with each other, and that's the first girl, right, that we've seen Matt say that he's falling
yeah,
in love
yeah.
with,
yep. yeah,
complete surprise to us, because we've seen greater connections. Michelle, Chelsea, we thought those people had great connections. Who else? You know, Bree, even her first yeah, date yeah. in the beginning, like kind of the same ordeal as Rachel, where we didn't see Rachel
any, yeah,
and Matt
we haven't seen any
talk
of it.
At all. I do remember an episode where Matt said to Rachel, like, there's just something about you, like, yeah. when I'm in the room, like, we catch each other's eye and that sort of thing. But does that mean you're falling in love with somebody? I don't know.
Like, I would have thought it came at the end of the Michelle date. That felt yeah. like the one where it was like,
right.
oh, they have a real connection. But he didn't say that. And then for him to say it with Rachel, yeah, it was just surprising.
Yeah, and Rachel is a beautiful girl, so, you know, getting caught up in the moment, who knows? But I think it felt weirder for us, Trent, like you said, because it feels like we're just watching these actual connections start, when in reality we're weeks into this, but it doesn't seem like it because we're not necessarily watching all
right.
of that.
Like,
part.
I've now decided that I'm going to learn all the girls' names.
Yeah.
Before that, it sounds crazy, yeah. we're in week five, but before last night, there was only focus on three or four girls, and those are the names that I knew. But now I'm gonna make it up because we still got 15 girls left.
Yeah, there's a lot of girls left. Yeah.
So we, I'm gonna try to learn all their names because it does feel like now the real season has started.
Yeah, we lost four girls. I think maybe went home or three or four. I think Victoria, Mari, Lauren. There might have been one more that I don't recall.
Were we down to 18 or 20 last week?
20.
That's right. It was 20. There might be 16
we added
girls left.
Yeah, like I think we're still. There's definitely still a lot of women left. So yeah, it's definitely, especially with Heather coming. But Heather coming is it sucks because they've had Heather waiting this whole time, right?
Yeah.
So you know that the producers planned for Heather to come in when things started to quiet down. Like, it was like, we're going to plan this out where Heather doesn't get to go in with the new girls. Heather doesn't get to go in at the beginning. Heather gets to go in 6 weeks in and have everyone freak out even more again. And so I don't think it's going to be a good situation for her.
I'd like to know what Heather's been doing this whole time, because she had to quarantine for 2 weeks. And then what week are we in real time on this show? Probably week four? Week three?
Probably three, four.
So we're talking a month and a half where she has had to quarantine because she's eventually going to show up in this show. What's she been doing? That's the story I want to hear. She's going to be on the show, I said it last night, for 7 minutes. Yeah. That is my official guess on how long, when she first appears to when she exits the show, it's going to be 7 minutes. Because it's if Matt even acts like he's making that a potential option, the other girls in the house are going to freak out.
Yeah.
And he's going to lose the house. And Heather and him...
Again, right.
Yeah. I don't know what kind of connection they're going to have. I don't know how long they've known each other before, whatever. But I would imagine Heather is there for a very, very short period of time. And that's a lot of quarantine for a short period of time.
Yeah.
I feel like now that we've reached this point where the new girls already came in, yes, we knew that was coming. I didn't realize that a lot of these new girls that came in were included in the cast list when it was revealed. Yeah. So these other girls, I think, knew that there must have been new girls coming in, or maybe not. Who really knows? Yeah. But that part we understood. We enjoyed that. Whatever. Now I think it's too late in the game for somebody else to come in.
For
so
sure.
If the girls get pissed that Heather came in, I think rightfully so. Because Heather, she's been on the show before. She has a connection through... She's really good friends with Hannah Brown, who's really good friends with Matt James. I understand them getting pissed about Heather coming in. And I think that's what's going to happen.
I mean, remember when Nick showed up?
Oh, of course.
Oh,
that's
my God.
The same thing.
Yeah. Of course,
that was even later.
Of course.
Was really late. What? Somewhere around the same time.
Yeah, no, that was very late too. But I think I am, and people are definitely going to be pissed at Heather, but I am a little, I don't know, I feel like just more hyper aware of how much Heather actually had to do with the timing and when she would have wanted, you know, because it's going to, people are going to shit on Heather for showing up week six when that's like not...
It's not her fault.
Oh, it's not Heather's fault.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like the girls in the house are going to be mad at her.
Oh, for sure.
But on the outside looking in, it's like obviously Heather probably wishes she was in the first 30 girls that got dropped off.
Yep, they're really doing her a disservice by putting her in the teaser every week. Like, imagine if we had just seen her in the teaser this week.
Right.
It was like, oh, shit, Heather's going to show up.
It's a big buildup.
It's a big buildup, and people are now, they're kind of tired of it. They're like, let's just have her show up finally, because we know it's not going to probably go anywhere.
Hey, ABC, little marketing tip. Don't put Heather in the first few trailers. Save it for, you know, weeks in, because we would have been surprised. It would have been a nice
big
treat.
Surprise. Well, maybe there's some other surprises in store for us that we don't even know are coming. The group date was farm work. So we're going to get into all the details of that date. Rhea, take it away.
Yes, Fran, that reminded me that with today's low interest rates, it's a great time to refinance your student loans. I have them. Trent, I don't know if you have them.
I do, yeah.
You have them? Yeah, I have them. I barely went to college and I have them. It's the worst thing I've ever done. I did one semester and I owe so much money.
I could not agree more. I have so many student loans.
Hey guys, it's Big Cat, and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. For the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1, every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
Dolls, you're just like doing manual labor.
It's a good juxtaposition.
Yeah, yeah. They definitely went for that big time. And to be honest, nothing crazy really happened during this group date on the farm. It was just that some of the women were getting a little upset over Matt making out with girls. Like, Matt went and snuck a makeout with Piper that was, like, hot. Like, he went for it, and he was like, Piper, I want you right now. Like, totally took over the moment.
He, like, went back three times. He didn't, like, run away, but he kept going back in for another kiss and another kiss and another kiss. And I forget who was chasing
him. Is Piper the best kisser? We'll have to find out.
Maybe. I mean, maybe.
MJ, I think MJ caught a glimpse of them, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. And MJ was on the date.
She came back and told the whole group.
People, some of the girls thought that MJ was faking her, like, oh, don't, no, don't touch, yeah, don't, yeah. I don't want to. So, yeah, nothing too eventful happened, but that makeout with Piper, I think he's really into Piper.
Yeah, it does seem that way. But it sucks because I understand it sometimes when Michelle, it seemed like, was getting a little emotional. She had just had a one-on-one date. And in those cases, I get it. You just had a one-on-one. You had so much time. You click so well, and then it's like, oh, he's making out with other girls. But the reality of the situation is he's making out with everyone. It's just you got to somehow compartmentalize that part of the show to be like, you know what? He makes out with everyone. Put that in the back of your brain.
He's got to test the waters.
Yeah.
Do you buy a car make out before testing it out?
You
got to
make out with everyone.
Yeah, no, he's well within his rights to be making out with everybody. And you're right. You just got to somehow, you know, put it in your brain where it's like he is making out with everybody, but he's also making out with you. So
it's an open relationship.
Yes.
Yes. With many, many women.
A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
just pretend you're in Utah.
Yes. A long, long time ago. 16 wives. Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like that's still a thing.
I thought it was too.
I mean, it definitely is.
Weren't there?
But I don't think that many.
Weren't there reality 16. Shows like recently about that?
Real Housewives.
Well,
we have the
Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, but they don't. None of their husbands have multiple wives
we know about yet.
I thought there was a show on USA.
Oh, Sister Wives.
Maybe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There is. Yeah,
TLC.
Yeah, TLC.
For
TLC.
Sure. There is 100% of
they got all those shows.
Polygamous marriages.
They do all those fun things.
Yes, big time. No, okay. You're definitely right that it does exist. The night portion of this date seemed like they totally surrounded the whole date around MJ because they are giving, like, MJ is now getting the bad girl cut. Now, like, the other girls are gone, so now she's getting the bad girl cut. So they made the whole day portion, like, look at MJ. She can't milk the goat. look at MJ. She's throwing shit on the other girls. She's flinging it in the air. Like, you know, the way they cut that around MJ on the day date, you knew, like, okay, they're setting her up here. And not to, you know, her own fault.
Right, I say not for no reason.
Yeah, not for her. Yeah, exactly, because they knew that Jesenia had talked to Matt about MJ calling them the varsity squad and the JV squad and the OG girls. And we watched last week. We watched MJ, like, lose her shit a little bit about Michelle getting the 101. We had not seen that side of her. But when she was in that group date and was like, why does she, like, she doesn't deserve that. She hasn't been here long enough to deserve that. The way she went off was like, oh, you're upset. These are your true feelings, and that really showed.
I think MJ saying varsity and JV is maybe the worst contribution in show history. Mm-hmm. The fact that we have to now deal with that, and the OGs, and anytime any of the girls refer to themselves as the OGs or the varsity squad, and they're not kidding, it just makes me want to throw my remote at the TV.
Yeah.
It's just really bad. But MJ...
And she lied, because she said it. She really said it.
She did say
it. I have a good DM you guys are going to like.
Oh, okay.
And it's going to explain the varsity and OG thing.
Okay.
Okay. Here, I found it. Noah, cut out stuff accordingly. I'm going to read the whole thing, and then we'll figure it out. MJT,
ooh,
it's a long DM, was listening to Cutting Stems and how you were getting all the DMs about MJ being a bully, which I was. I was getting DMs being like, MJ was a bully, yes.
Yeah.
She said, and first things first, her name is Meredith. She changed her name to MJ less than a year ago. But yes, I would consider her a bully. She literally used to make fun of me in elementary school for reading Harry Potter on the bus. Fran, square up! Square up!
You know how many times I read Harry Potter on the bus? Oh, I got some words for
MJ. MJ would have fucking punched you in the face.
Big time.
Oh, let's fight MJ just for that. I'm pissed about that.
We're making
Anyways,
fun of girls for reading
Harry
Potter on the
That's
bus?
A good thing, MJ. Whatever, moving on. Ugh. Like, she goes, like, I was 10 years old trying to get some good old Harry and Hermione time in and getting absolutely railed for reading. She was the same in high school as she's portraying herself on the show, and I thought maybe she would have changed since we went to school together, but clearly she has not. She also had
was in a popular friend group in high school, and there was a rival group that they fought with. Her group called the other group celery because they were skinny and didn't eat at lunch, while the other group called them cake. Funny, because she's now making up varsity versus JV, and it's like, close the yearbook. You can't make this stuff up.
Wow.
So MJ's not new to making up group nicknames.
Yep, yep.
Do you have anything you would like to say?
I didn't like one second of that.
Neither did I.
You know what? There was a little part of me that still wanted to give MJ the benefit of the doubt here, you know, that maybe she felt the mob mentality, everything was getting to her. But you know what? After hearing that DM and the way she talked to Jesenia was insane. I was watching when I was watching, my jaw was on the floor. I was like, you're telling Jesenia she's being aggressive. You could not be more aggressive right now.
Right.
She was going at her where it was so intense, where Jesenia's like, look, you lied. Like, that's all I'm trying to tell you. And she's, you're attacking my character. I'm all about peace and love and
harmony.
And I lead by example. You lead by example, my ass.
I must ask this girl if I'm allowed to read this on the podcast.
Yeah,
I totally forgot about that aspect.
Meredith
of it.
Is not going to be happy.
I'm DMing her now, being like, "Oh my god!"
When she was saying,
"This is crazy." Can we read this on the podcast? Because I just did.
True. The peace and harmony and lead by example. You know, when they go to like the office of a high ranking CEO, and they have the things on the walls that say like perseverance, and it's a picture of a tiger, like going like crazy.
Yes.
She speaks in those platitudes where you're saying things, but you don't mean any of them. Peace and harmony. You were number three in the ranking of the bullies in the house. The first two are gone, and now people are coming to you, being like, "Remember what you did?" And she's like, no, I didn't do any of this. When she clearly did, and Matt's going to find out about it, and she's going to go on this 2-on-1 with Jesenia, she's probably going to go home, and that's just how the world works.
It's hilarious to me when the girls try and fight back on things that they so clearly said on camera. It's like, we're all going to watch you say it. Mm-hmm. I know you're going to try and deny it and say it never happened while you're filming. It's like they just forget that you are on camera multiple times calling them the JV squad and you guys the varsity squad multiple times.
It's just a mean girl thing to do.
Yeah,
it's just a very mean girl thing to do. MJ seems like she is a mean girl. Like I said, I've gotten so many, and this isn't the I heard she was an escort type of rumor.
No,
like this is
no,
like when
no.
so many people are being like she was a mean girl
like
who bullied me.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Sounds like that's probably
everybody
what
grew up with that mean, like the mean girl, and it just sounds like she it fits that category.
And I think the hope for all of us was that she was just a follower of Victoria and Anna, and that because I think early on we're all like, oh, MJ's kind of cool, like she seems like a cool girl.
It was definitely the hair, but
she has cool hair.
She does have cool hair. Like that's
we were like, damn, she looks like a cool girl, and I think that was solely based on her hair.
It's undeniable that she has cool hair. Like I couldn't agree more.
We have to put that out.
Correct.
You do. And then so we were hoping that once all the other girl, the mean girls, were gone, that she was going to be, you know, go back to being cool MJ, and it turns out she's just as bad as them.
She's the leader of the pack.
Yeah.
She's the Regina George.
It definitely felt like she was stepping up to the plate big time to take on that role, and it was very aggressive. We're going to see how Matt handles it.
I hated how she kept telling Jesenia, just stop talking. Just stop talking.
Yeah.
It's like, what? So you're allowed to talk, but she's not allowed to talk?
Yeah.
How's that fair?
Jesenia knows, too. She knows she's right, and there's nothing better than being in an argument when you know you're right.
Totally. She's like, you're just being a liar. Like, and I did like how she said, all right, when everyone watches this back, like, you'll see. You know, she's like, we're all going to see the tape.
Yeah, Jesenia literally said, you know, you're going to learn when this comes out on TV how bad you look. And MJ was like, that's so immature that you would say that. It's like, that's just the truth.
Just facts.
That's just a real thing that's going to happen.
It's just facts. So, besides all the MJ drama on the dates, Matt did seem to get some quality time with some of the women, some good conversations in. He got to talk to Chelsea again, who, fantastic coach, just an absolutely phenomenal coach.
I hope Kelly Keeks found it. She said she was going to be searching
night. She found it. I saw it on Twitter. Oh. Someone sent it to her, but it's out of stock.
Ah,
the worst feeling.
That sucks.
The worst feeling.
Darn.
I know. And he also had a great conversation with Abigail. We haven't seen a lot of Abigail since the first impression rose, and she definitely seemed to be getting more vocal about not getting as much time and wanting to make sure that her connection with Matt was still there. And it was definitely still there. She opened up big time talking about her childhood and her dad leaving her family, and that resonated with Matt. They were able to discuss those things. And that was a beautiful conversation to watch, a real conversation that wasn't like the bullshit we've been dealing with for so long. And thankfully, Abigail got the group date rose too. So.
And it just felt so much more real than what we saw with Rachel, because they were talking about this connection Rachel and Matt had, and we didn't see it. But with Abigail and Matt, it was like, oh, that was a genuine conversation.
Yeah. Right. It still feels very surface level with Rachel and Matt, but I that's just what we're seeing. So I don't know.
And probably not helped by the fact that their date was him just buying her a bunch of shoes.
Right, that's true.
It's all a little materialistic.
That's true. Yeah. That is but true. That definitely doesn't help.
No, it doesn't. But they, you know, again, they could have had connections that we just didn't see. I would imagine that's the case, because they seem like when they're together, I feel like they do vibe a little bit. The conversation with Abigail was certainly deeper and more meaningful, but I could see Rachel and Matt sort of getting together. Yeah.
And then the last thing was a one-on-one date for Kit. Kit got to cook. She was head over heels about the cooking. You know, couldn't, very emotional over the date card. Cooking, she loves cooking. It's bonded her with her mom. And she felt like Matt was really listening when they came up with that date. She got to go over to Mystic Falls where he lives. And
it's unbelievable.
So Mystic Falls.
It's really just unbelievable that Mystic Falls is involved
Trent,
in this.
There is a show on, it was on the CW. It was called Vampire Diaries.
Yes. Okay.
And in Vampire Diaries, you know Nina Dobrev? Beautiful.
That name sounds very familiar.
You know her.
You've definitely seen her before. She now dates Shaun White. She's been on our show.
Snowboard?
She's spectacular. Yes.
I've been getting more into the X Games.
That's for another time.
Again, we don't want to talk about it. We're
talking about Mystic Falls.
Yeah, sorry. I don't want to
do
the Apple thing again, but I've been watching the X Games more. Go ahead.
X Games are very fun to watch. I will give you that. Okay. Mystic Falls is literally the town they live in Vampire Diaries. Like Vampire Diaries, all the characters live in Mystic Falls.
Yeah.
It's a made up place. So when they show it on the TV as like, here's Matt's estate, and they put Mystic Falls on the bottom, it's like, it's why did they name that Mystic Falls?
Yeah. And isn't it just right next door to the resort?
I think so.
Like what it's,
what qualifies that to be Mystic Falls?
Absolutely. That's my question.
I have no idea.
I like the name. I didn't watch Vampire Diaries, so I don't have that previous connection with it. But I like the two word Mystic Falls next to each other.
It has an air of like magic to it.
It does.
Then let me tell you, there's some shit in Mystic Falls and Vampire Diaries. A lot of magical creatures.
I'm starting to think they're putting little things in there like this so you guys can make references to things that I don't know about.
And vampires.
Potentially. Specifically vampires.
Very specifically vampires.
Yeah. Well, anyways, Kit.
Kit's date was lovely.
It was fine. I think Kit is not as bad as we expected her to be. Yeah. I don't think she's going to go much further, to be quite honest. Like, I think
she got peer pressured into all the bullying stuff too. And that's giving her the benefit of the doubt, also. But she seems so buddy buddy with Victoria.
But if you get peer pressured into bullying, like,
then what does that say about you? I know, for sure. Right? Like, absolutely.
She did infamously say, "We are going to make this girl's life a living hell."
100%.
Yeah, like,
that. They set us up with one of the most ridiculous opening scenes. We didn't even talk about this, of like Victoria and Kit on a walk past Brittany and Ryan, also on a walk, like crossing paths. And it was, that felt like they filmed that out of a teen drama movie where they were like, let's get the mean girls saying something about the other girls. Like, that felt so staged and so uncomfortable. But
how do we feel about the cold opens?
That gave us the sound bits of like, she's disgusting, she's disgusting, she's disgusting.
Right.
They're disgusting, they're losers, they're disgusting. So the cold, I don't know. It's new.
Yeah.
I don't really see the purpose of it, but
yeah, they don't really add anything. Last night they kind of did, but before they'll do ones that it doesn't add much.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit like the To Be Continued for me, where I'm like, cold opens are like exciting.
Right. A cold open to me really draws you into the episode and you're like, wow, I got to watch. When there's some times when they have had that where they've showed clips from like dates and whatnot, but they don't need to do anything to get me to watch, because I'm going to watch anyway.
True,
you know?
They've got us no matter what.
I'm already hooked, so you don't even really need the heavier hook. But yeah, so with Kit, it just seemed like it was a nice date. They certainly are making out with tongue. That felt like some aggressive kisses between him and Kit. No?
Sure. I didn't really take notice,
really?
But
it felt like a little bit more intense. There was one moment were, it was the first time out of any of the kisses we watched that I was like, oh, she
I'm
really
into
went
it.
For it. But
they yeah. also, didn't she say she's fallen in love with him?
Yeah, yeah, I think she did.
Another one where I'm like, where did that come from?
Yeah. I think it's just when, at this point,
you're so obsessed
you're
with the
so
Bachelor.
You're so obsessed with the one guy you see all the time.
Right.
Think about it. It's 5 weeks in. He's the only guy you're really seeing. Of course you're going to be obsessed with him. It's like it just becomes a habit at that point.
And he's super hot.
Yeah. It's like it's you just fantasize about Matt James the entire time that you're there.
You're in Mystic Falls.
Yeah,
you're like, I'm here.
Magical.
I'm doing it. We're cooking. We're making out.
Exactly. It feels Cookies. Real. Feels real, but it's... He's got a little connection
with everybody.
How old's
Kit? She's young, right?
21.
She's young. I actually don't see them going too far.
No, no. To me, this was like a filler date. Mm-hmm. It went. I said this on Cutting Stems. Normally a one-on-one date, you get the day portion, commercial break, then the night portion. That's how it went with Rachel. This date was just cooking at night. There was no other elements to it, I think. There was no like day portion, then dinner portion. It was just dinner, which I think Kit was very excited about. But because it was shortened, it was commercial break, Kit's date, commercial break, and then it was over. So the date went by so fast. It was another thing where you see Kit saying, I'm falling for you, but as a viewer, it's hard to believe it because you're really not seeing any of that at all. They're showing Kit in such small amounts of time.
Right. What did they end up cooking? I don't even remember.
Cookies. They were baking cookies.
They made cookies.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Chocolate chip.
Yeah. They look good. Homemade.
I'm not as into chocolate chip cookies as everyone else is.
That's a shocking thing to learn about you.
What's your favorite cookie then?
Snickerdoodles.
Okay. So those are good. Those are good.
Sometimes I just don't need... I think sometimes people screw up the cookie to chocolate ratio with chocolate chip cookies. I think there needs to be less chocolate.
See, I just do the Toll House. I actually did them last night during The Bachelor, which was fantastic. because then I was like, oh, look at them eating cookies while I'm eating my cookie. They do... That's an easy...
Remember
that's
when you ruined the cookies?
Good job.
With your boyfriend? I was on FaceTime. Mm-hmm. You guys had an argument about cookies.
I did. That
did
was
think
one
there,
of my,
did you think there was too much chocolate?
No, I left them in the oven for too long. Oh. But I perfected it now. Yeah. I've really nailed the amount of time to keep the Toll House cookies in the oven.
I'll God. Eat a chocolate chip cookie. I'm just saying that the
we know you will. That like totally was a joke, and I just felt like it
it's
had
fine.
To be said.
It's fine. It's
I don't,
fine.
Like think of those things about you. I just appreciate you being able to laugh.
Yeah.
Fran looks disgusted with everything I say, but like at least Trent
I didn't even really hear what you said because it was in a laugh.
She's saying I'll never turn down a cookie, which is true.
Oh, okay. You know, yeah.
I got a larger frame. It's true.
Sounded mean, but it was
no.
True.
No.
The last thing that I'll say about chocolate chip cookies is just that let's tone down the chocolate a little bit.
Okay.
It needs to be a surprise. It doesn't need to be the chunks that everybody puts in them now. It's just too much.
PSA, no more chunky chocolate chip cookies for Trent.
Exactly.
Trent, yeah. We stand with you.
Yeah. All right,
thank
guys.
You.
I think that pretty much sums up the episode. We got left on a big cliffhanger with MJ and Jesenia, so we'll see what happens there. But I think it's time to get into our chat with Matt James. I think a lot of what we just talked about will probably clear up with Matt, so it'll be a good continuation. So here he comes.
Dun, 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 dun. All right, everyone, we are here with a very special guest, the one and only Matt James, The Bachelor. Matt, welcome to the show. We've been waiting to have you on. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm honored to be here.
We are super excited. You know, we actually just wrapped our recap of Monday's episode. So we were just talking about it. And we called you Matthew James. And yes, we were like, wait, is Matthew even his name? Like, we've never seen it. But then when you popped up on Zoom, it says Matthew James. So that's, I feel like that's it. That confirmed
it.
We were like, we got to ask him.
Yeah. It answered for us, and you also had your lips right up on the screen. You gave us with
eyes
open. Wide open, just ready and prepared. You think you can give us that visual one more time? Because we weren't recording, and I wish we were.
Yeah, of course. You know, it's just something that is part of my experience. Now, you know, you just got to have your eyes open, and you got to make sure you're just...
This is why
super intimate.
You are such a good bachelor. Your season has been so good. And one of the things that's been great about it is your self-awareness. You putting out that tweet of being like, this is the POV of kissing me. That was so good because all anybody could talk about for the first couple weeks was you kissing with your eyes open. And you just put those rumors to rest with a really funny tweet. It was perfection.
Listen, last night, Jessica Biel put up an Instagram, you know, giving Justin Timberlake a birthday shout out. He had his eyes open when he was kissing her. We're on the same page. Me and JT got it figured out, apparently. So,
yeah, Matt, I did actually have your back when the rumors started swirling about you being an eye open kisser. I was like, listen, I feel like if any of us were filmed 24/7 kissing people, we're going to have our eyes open at some point.
Thank you. Thank you. And that was the thing. I'd never been filmed kissing somebody before. So, like, I'm picking up on a lot of things. I'm like, am I breathing when I'm kissing her? Like, am I holding my breath? Like, a bunch of different things.
Yeah. Right, you finally got game tape on your kissing. You can break it down and try to get better.
Oh, man. Yeah, this is going to be, when your mom's sending you gifts and memes of yourself, then it's like all downhill.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
Matt, I want to talk about your laugh because it's something I've talked about in the recaps before. You have a very contagious laugh, okay? Look, you're doing it right now. We're all smiling. We're all laughing along with you. But there was a date where Fran was like, he was really laughing hard with her. And I was like, Matt really laughs hard with everybody. So I'm like, he makes everybody feel like they're the funniest person in the room.
You know what? I have a very unique laugh, and I find, like, people are funny. Like, every person that you talk to has something to bring to the table, and if you give them a chance, like people take life too serious. Like, there were so many instances during filming when funny stuff was going on, and I was dying, and everyone's like, that wasn't even funny. But, like, Kit is hilarious. Like, Kit would say these, like, backhanded comments to me sometimes about what I was wearing, and I would lose it. But, you know.
Well, no, it's also a great quality because, like we were saying, when you are the person to make someone laugh like you laugh, it's such a confidence boost. Like, you're like, wow, he just laughed so hard. Like, I'm really funny. Like,
I was like, the last time we saw Matt, like, I left being like, I'm the funniest person alive.
Yeah.
No joke.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mentioned that, like, we're obviously joking, but, like, Fran's brother was like, oh, my God, Matt James is the nicest, coolest person in the world after we left. And we were like, it's the laugh.
JB, it's the laugh. He laughed at you, and you were like, wow, this is love.
Yeah.
Dude, he's the man. He was so funny, though. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, boy. He's going to be happy about this.
Yeah, he's going to love that. We had a nice little...
today's his birthday.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, today's
happy birthday, bro.
Yeah.
Santa's helper at my... We got to do Secret Santa at my place next year. Done.
Done.
Yeah, we did a little Secret Santa, or what is it? Mm-hmm. White Elephant, it's called.
Yeah.
White Elephant.
Yeah, we did White Elephant, and we brought Fran's siblings along, and Fran's brother got iced in front of these people who he's never met before, including Matt. And he was a good sport about it.
He did. He handled it like a champ.
Yeah.
He was such a good sport.
Yeah. All right, Matt, let's get into this season. Let's talk about this past episode. On Monday, right off the bat, you sent home Anna and Victoria after you had found out what was going on in the house. Now, before Katie went to talk to you, did you have any idea that all of that was going on and the drama was going on with the new girls and the name calling? Because sometimes I'm like, does Matt maybe have his ear to the door where no one sees him and he's trying to listen but can't listen?
That's a great question. And to be honest with you, it sounds, I had no idea. Like I'm finding this stuff out real time. And it's like, everyone's watching it like in parallel. I'm just living this linear life of like, everything's like dandy. And then when she comes out, Katie, and has this conversation with me, I'm just like, wait, what? And then I had that conversation with Brittany at the beginning of the cocktail party. I was just like, damn, like, as someone who doesn't have a sister or like doesn't have a daughter, like if someone was speaking about a woman like that in my life, like that, like rumors like that can ruin your reputation, like especially when there's no merit behind them. So I felt for her, you know, that's a tough position to be in. And it unfortunately, it made that next decision that much easier when people are doing things like that. It's, you can't have people like that partaking in the journey because you make the environment not inducive of sharing. You know, people aren't going to be open to sharing, and you're not going to get to know these women the way you'll need to get to know them to make an informed decision on if this is someone you could spend the rest of your life with. So I don't think Anna's a bad woman at all, but I think that there was a lapse in judgment that cost her, you know, more time with me. So
did it feel like Anna was at least a little remorseful when Victoria maybe wasn't? Because at least from what we saw, it didn't seem like Victoria was very remorseful.
Yeah, and that was what I picked up on right away. And that's why it was sad when I was walking Anna out, because we've all been in situations where it's like, yo, I OD'd. Like, yeah. I did something that I probably shouldn't have said. And like in that moment, like you want to show them grace. But at the same time, it's like there's women here who aren't saying and doing things like that I need to focus my time and energy in those relationships. And then
Victoria really just let you have it at the end there.
You know what? I had nothing. Like I couldn't give anything because there was nothing to give at that moment. I was so drained from just dealing with all that night that I was just like,
bye. Peace.
I had nothing else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. What are your, I mean, obviously everybody wants to know the answer to this question, because Victoria was talked about a lot this season. You know, she was deemed as a bully. She was calling girls names. She caused a lot of drama. Watching it back, do you feel like you missed out on a lot of stuff that these girls were seeing with Victoria, or did you see that while it was happening as well?
You know, I didn't see a lot of it. You know, I when you're, this is going to sound weird, when you're dating 30 women, you really have to be hyper focused every time you're having a conversation with somebody, because if you're thinking about your one-on-one you had with Bree and Sarah and Michelle, then you're not going to be attentive and in the moment to hear everything that Rachel has to tell you. And that's a disservice to her, and it's a disservice to the whole experience for everybody. So I'm so focused on the conversations that I'm having in the moment that I really have no idea what's going on outside of that. So when I'm hearing this, I'm like, how did I miss this? And then I'm watching it back, I'm just like, there's no way I should have missed this. But it's because I'm so locked into these relationships, and I'm trying to make sure there's not something I'm missing in this one-on-one and in this cocktail conversation and this after party conversation that is going to take our relationship to the next level. And I'm not thinking about like, I wonder what Victoria's talking about.
Yeah,
like
the right. Right.
Right.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. You just mentioned Rachel's name. We felt like once Anna and Victoria had left, that we were focusing more on some of your actual relationships, actually seeing relationships form. Has there been things with Rachel that we haven't seen? Because as viewers, we all felt like, whoa, she's fallen in love. He feels the same way. Like this
it was
came
the
out
first
of,
time
this,
you had mentioned that you were falling in love.
I was like, this came out of nowhere. When did Rachel get this? When did Rachel like become this person? We didn't. It just felt like it all happened fast, but maybe because we didn't see it.
So that's another great question. And
thanks.
That's the product of having to deal with all the drama, all the pettiness. Like you miss out on those conversations that I'm having with Michelle, with Rachel, with Bree, with Serena P, with Kit, that really intertwine the missing pieces of our story and why those connections are growing stronger than one with an Anna or one with a Lauren. And you know, it's unfortunate, but it is what it is. You know, there's only so much time in a 2 hour slot that you can allot to a romance. There's got to be some pettiness in there. But, you know, I think that with the way that last week went, going forward, a lot of my time and the narrative is going to be on the love story and less about the kind of cattiness that was going on.
Good.
When you talk about, you said you were drained during the Anna Victoria part of everything going on. Were you more drained and overwhelmed by that, or when the limo full of the new girls pulled up? Because you seemed very overwhelmed by that entire thing, and I can imagine, because you're, like you're saying, you're hyper focused on these relationships that you're trying to form with the girls, and then Chris Harrison pulls you aside, and now this limo pulls up. How overwhelmed were you by that entire scenario?
Bro, you know what's funny? Well, this isn't funny, but so I'm having a conversation. If we take it a week back, I'm having a conversation with Victoria outside, and Chris Harrison walks up. He's like, Matt, I need to steal you. In that moment, I thought Victoria was going to swing on Chris Harrison because he was interrupting our conversation. And I saw the look on his face and the way that the week had been going. I thought I was going inside to break up a fight.
Right.
So I'm going inside. I'm looking for hair, blood. I didn't see anything. So I'm walking to the front door and I see the lights. I'm like, oh my gosh, Sarah's coming back. That was my first thought. I'm like, I'm not thinking that there's going to be more women coming. And that's why I was just like, so I had no idea what was going on. That's why I felt like I looked like that. The reverse of that is this past week with Victoria, I was just physically drained because I'm trying to have her understand that, like, you can't call another person a hoe and then expect them to take them in the context that you expected that to be taken in. Mm-hmm. When like I'm trying to help someone understand that isn't trying to understand that, and that's draining when you just don't see eye to eye with someone. It's just like,
yeah,
it's like you want better for them than they want for themselves, it seems like. But that part was very draining, and then for her to leave like that was just like sad because you know.
It is, it's like you're speaking a different language, like you guys are like, you just can't communicate.
Yeah,
dude, I felt like I was speaking Spanish, bro. I'm like, I would say something and it's just like, I don't know. There's nothing. I don't even know how to explain that.
Yeah, I mean, and we're seeing it because there was a lot of talks. Oh, it was Victoria paid plant, this, that, the other thing. Is she an actor? And we were just talking about it. We were like, no, we think she's a real person who genuinely just isn't really self-aware of what's going on.
And that's where I feel like I personally dropped the ball. I felt like when you have someone like that who is that unaware of how they're affecting people, there's a chance for you to make a real change in that person's life based on like a conversation we can have and like really helping them have this self-realization. And that's what I was hoping for in that moment, that this could be like a teaching moment. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to do it in love, because when someone's trying to tell you something that is counter to how you've been living your life, you've got to do it in a very soft and nurturing way so that they don't feel like they're being attacked. And when they're not receptive to it, it's like you can't tell somebody something and expect it to happen like that. And we didn't really have a lot of time to get to where I'd like for us to be in terms of understanding. So it was unfortunate that she had to leave like that. But
yeah.
I'm not going to lie. Like, I was dying laughing after the fact. Just like she just let me have it, you know. And then she's like, she's not going to date any other Matts. Like, I was like...
I don't know if any other Matts would date her, but that's just hilarious.
Like,
point.
You just, you've completely ruined the name Matt for her. She'll never date another Matt ever. You mentioned Sarah, and it did seem like you and Sarah got very deep very quickly. And there's been so much conversation about Sarah and her leaving. At the time, like, did you feel like Sarah was there for, I'm going to say the cliche, did you think Sarah was there for the right reasons?
Yeah, and I think that's a great question, because you got all the great questions.
You got all the great questions.
That's three.
That's three for three here. I'm feeling left out, Trent. How about you?
Three gold stars. Hell yeah. No, it's like, for me, I'm going to speak for how I process these things. And until I am proven otherwise, I give everybody the benefit of the doubt. And there was nothing with my interactions with Sarah that told me that she was there for any other reason. And I'm sure that a million people will have a million different opinions on that. But based on our conversations and how our one-on-one went and everything that I heard about her family, I had every reason to think that she was there. And she had taken that time away from her family to find someone that she was looking to spend the rest of her life with. And
unfortunately, it didn't end.
Yeah, yeah.
In the best way.
Yeah.
Who's somebody from the show do you think that they're not showing enough of?
That's a great question.
Oh, there you go, Rhea. There you
go. Thank you. Let's go.
That's a great question. Trent, you're up next. I think that...
I hope so. I'm going to try to think of one. I'm going to try to think of a great question.
I think that, the reality is there's not enough time to showcase everybody, mm-hmm. but specifically Kit. Like I think that...
Really? I'm shocked by that.
Yeah.
I'm actually not.
I think that Kit is very impressive. And she every time I had a conversation with her, the things that she chose to talk about, like one of the conversations we had was like, I'm always asking the women to be vulnerable, be vulnerable, be vulnerable. And vulnerability looked different to everybody. You know, if like, let's say that Trent grew up and he had to take care of all his brothers and sisters, like his life experience is going to be different from someone who didn't grow up with that adversity, but vulnerability looks different to them. And that's kind of what she explained to me. She's like, when I show up to you, my vulnerability is going to look different than any of these other women because they haven't had my life experience. And for her to have that wherewithal at 21 and just that maturity when we would have these conversations, I was blown away. And so I don't think a lot of people saw that. So that one-on-one we had might have looked like it came out of nowhere. But in reality, every time I spent time with Kit, I was just like, yo, she is bringing it. So.
Yeah. And that's something that Chris Harrison did mention when he went through all the girls. He said, I think people are going to be surprised by Kit. You know, she's young, so people automatically think the worst. But I also think that's an interesting point you brought up because she grew up with a mom who's very successful and famous designer. And you automatically, you roll your eyes. You're like, oh, yeah, their life must have been so hard. But at the same time, there probably was some hard aspects to that. You know, you got to live up to your mom's name. It's like you said, it's different than somebody else. It sounds like something you should roll your eyes at, but it's their life.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, what do you expect from people? Like, it's a life that I hope to provide for my kids one day. You know, we all work hard to provide X, Y, Z. And I feel like people are shamed for when they get there and having those things. And she embraces it, wears it on her shoulder, and she's proud of it. And again, as being the one of the younger women in the house to be that mature every time we had a conversation was like,
yeah,
it was impressive.
How impressed, because I felt this way watching it. How impressed were you by Michelle? Because on your date, that to me, watching your face in those moments, because you do kind of wear your emotions outwardly. Like it's easy to tell, I think, sometimes how you're feeling. And your face during that entire Michelle date, you looked like you were having an absolute blast. You guys had what seemed like such a great conversation. How was that date for you?
So when you go into something like this, you have to have the most open mind to anything that's thrown your way, whether that be new women coming 3 weeks in and in your gut feeling like there's something there. And that's what I felt when I met Michelle. I'm like, yo, I need time with her. I've missed out on 3 weeks with her. Like, can I get a one-on-one tomorrow? And everything that I was feeling was verified through that time and how, what she chose to talk about, what's important to her. The fact that she's so intentional again with her thoughts and why she's there. It makes it hard, you know, because you have someone like that who is, you wonder why you don't think women like that are single, you know. It's like, what am I missing? Like, you know, so it was hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I do love, she like so many people question their motives and whatnot. Michelle, I think, made her Instagram like last year. So everyone was like, oh, she's just on Instagram now? So this girl, let's keep her around. She's a winner. Yeah. Trent, great question. This is your opportunity,
oh,
man.
Oh, boy.
I'm putting you on the spot. But if Matt doesn't say this is a great question.
He's getting really close to the camera.
Yeah. The eyes are
all
open.
Right. All right. I got one. How great did all that foliage look in person? When in Pennsylvania, all those leaves, all those beautiful fall leaves, how great did that stuff look?
Trent, that's a great question.
Yes!
Yes! Yes!
You know what? It actually is, though, because I lived in Pittsburgh, and when I came to Nemacolin, the leaves were changing, the seasons were changing. So I hadn't, like, being in New York, like, we don't have falls like you do in the suburbs anymore. So. Right. Being there, like the last time that I was in the suburbs for a fall and to see the leaves change was like 4 years ago. So yeah. Being there just felt like I was at home, and it was the perfect setting for romance.
Amazing. We know that Tyler is showing up next week. We saw him in the preview. Can you? You're already laughing, so yeah. I feel like Tyler's going to have quite a showing. Is there anything that you can tease for Tyler's appearance?
I'm going to give, since y'all are my favorite, I'm giving y'all the exclusive. You heard it here first.
Oh, boy.
Oh, let's go.
Tyler falls for somebody that week.
Oh. Whoa!
Whoa! Wow. Amazing. The headlines write themselves.
Yep.
Wow.
Thank you for that, Matt.
Amazing. Wow.
And I'm going to add one last thing.
Yep.
Tyler falls for somebody that week. And it's not who you think.
Mm.
Those are two good teams.
That's good. And also, it pairs with the question that we got asked on Cutting Stems last night. It was like, do we think that Tyler's going to show up and some girls that are there for you are going to be like, I kind of want Tyler instead now.
Hey, I wouldn't put it past what's going to happen next week.
There we go.
Oh,
that
good stuff,
so good.
Guys. Teaser is
good
so good.
Stuff.
To wrap up, we have a few superlatives for you to give out. We got four. No worst, because we want to be nice. So all best.
Okay. All best.
All best.
We're positive here.
Yeah, we'll start out simple. Best dressed.
Shit, that was a no-brainer.
Okay. Yeah, I said we'll start out easy.
Okay, easy enough. Yep.
Your turtlenecks are great, though. People love the turtlenecks.
So you actually might be best dressed.
Did you pick out anything other than a turtleneck the entire season?
Listen,
the purple fuzzy sweater.
Oh, the purple fuzzy sweater is fantastic.
I'm a big turtle advocate. Anything that supports the turtles, if it's turtleneck or a turtle animal, then I'm gonna rock it. So
paper straws.
Yep.
Oh. Paper straws.
Yeah. Best kisser.
You know what? That is a great question.
That's two.
Best kisser. I'm going to have to say.
The suspense.
He's really thinking about it.
His eyes are open. He's thinking about kissing.
Michelle.
Okay.
Michelle. Oh, okay. Nice.
Hot air balloon, make out.
Yeah, that was something. Yeah. That was a good make out.
Fran, take the next two.
Best limo entrance.
Ooh. Best limo entrance?
Great question.
Thank you, Rio.
Best limo entrance? You know what? I gotta give it to Katie. When she pulled up with that lightsaber, I was just like, I was beside myself. You know, I was nervous. I was nervous, and then she just like put me to ease, because it's like, how can you not laugh when someone does something like that? You know, like that was so bold of her, and I respected it.
Best conversationalist. This is an academic question.
Yes.
I'd probably say Rachel, just because she was so authentic, and everything that we talked about had substance. It's not just like fluff. We talked about real things.
Good. And I like that you hear that, because I feel like we haven't seen that yet. Like, yeah. I'm just, you know, we're waiting to see it. So it clears up a lot of things, I think, for the viewers, seeing you guys have those conversations and being like, well, what are we missing here? So,
yeah.
Okay. Last thing before you go quickly. how would you describe your relationship with Chris Harrison, and how did he help you on this season? Because, you know, you're new to this. You were never on The Bachelorette. You were never on Bachelor in Paradise. How helpful was Chris Harrison, if at all? Because maybe he left you to the wolves.
That would be hilarious.
I first of all, I love Chris Harrison. Like, he was just a voice of reason. Like, anytime I had objections about something or I needed clarity on something, he was there. And I would compare myself and Chris's relationship to, like, I was that son that he had that, like, never listened to his dad. And then, like, right when he's about to graduate high school, he's like, what you were saying was right, Dad. So, like, that was kind of like, I'm, like, trying to find my own way. I'm like, oh, Chris, you're right. But, no, I had a great relationship with Chris. And he was super important in making sure that if I felt like I needed an advocate, that I had it in him. So.
Amazing. Well, Matt, thank you so much for coming on to our show and talking to us. We hope we get to talk to you soon. See you soon. We can't wait to watch the rest of this season.
Yeah, thank y'all for having me. I'm looking forward to be back. Y'all had great questions today.
Thank you. Thank you, Matt. Nobody makes us feel better about ourselves than you do. So
it's very true.
All right. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, I'll see y'all.
See ya.
Thanks, Matt.
Bye.
With my busy life, I use Shipt same-day delivery to keep up. When I need a jar of extra creamy peanut butter delivered, I know my personal shopper Amber will come through. And if it's not on the shelf, she asks them to check the back. Shipt, delight in every delivery. Learn more at Shipt.com.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now. Save big money.